Okay, now you just need to keep your Bible open because I'm going to read a lot of scripture this scattered through the message here. But the whole thing that I want to try to get us to think about here tonight is just to, I want to ask you a question. Are you growing in the Lord? Do you think you are? Do you care? Do you even consider it? How do we know if we're growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord? How do we know? Do you ever wonder that? Can you tell me how? You know, I mean, I'm not asking you because y'all never answer questions when I ask you because I guess you think I'm going to trap you and try to make a fool of you. Don't ever do that. It should be something that we're concerned about, don't you think? I think you will think that when we read these scriptures. There's a lot of them. I said chapter 2, it's chapter 1, I'm sorry. Philippians 1, verse 9 is what we're going to read here in a second. But if one of our children stopped growing and developing, we'd be looking into what was wrong pretty quickly, wouldn't we? And with a lot of concern. You know, everybody's concerned about these little ones. If they don't talk soon enough, if they don't walk soon enough, if they don't grow enough, if they don't weigh what they're supposed to weigh, I mean, you know, if their eyes don't work right, if just watching continually, aren't we? Especially when they're little, when they're first born, you're just looking, counting the toes and the fingers, and I mean, making sure everything's just like it's supposed to be, and then we watch them as they grow and develop, and if something's off a little bit, we know it, don't we? Why? Well, because we care.
Yes, sir.
And we know that there's going to be more problems down the road if something is wrong and we don't deal with it. Well, what about spiritual things and spiritual life? Mm-hmm. You know, do we think that we can just lollygag around and just have how it happens, and if it's good, it's good, it's not, and just whatever is, it is. It is what it is. Is that the attitude to have for our spiritual life and walk with God? No, it's not.
No.
Nope. The Christian life ought to be a work in progress.
Amen.
That's continually developing and growing in things spiritual. You ought to be getting somewhere in your spiritual life, in your understanding, in your knowledge, in every aspect of spiritual things. You ought to be gaining ground. Yeah. There should be a diminishing of our focus on earthly carnal things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you ought to love this world less and less. If you're growing in grace, you're going to love the world less and less.
Right.
It's going to have less and less of your attention, of your affection, of your desire, of your thoughts. Amen. That's gonna go down. It's going to diminish.
Yes.
And at the same time, there's going to be an increase and an enlargement of our focus on spiritual things if we're growing. Now, that's the question. Are you growing? Are those things changing? Your view of the world, do you still have that appetite? Is that where your desires and your thoughts and your dreams and ambitions and all, is it mainly there? Or is that kind of getting where that's just not that important? I'll tell you, just a good old dose of being born again does that for you right out of the gate. You just see the world totally different. Immediately. As our understanding of God and the world around us increases, we should be getting a larger and broader and deeper view of all things. You know, as we learn more about God, then what we understand about this world around us, people, the things they do, the way they live, the foolish, insane way they think, it ought to look more and more like that to us. The closer we get to God, the crazier the world should seem to us.
Yes, sir.
Now they say we're crazy. Well, we're not crazy. It's them that are crazy.
Yes, sir.
That's right. Obviously. So as a result of all these things, the things we value and esteem as important ought to be changing too.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
The things that are important to you, the things that you think really matter, they ought to be changing.
Yes.
What was important to you when you were 18 years old? If you're a guy, probably a truck. Right? If you were a girl, it was a wedding. Yeah, that's all that's on your mind. Well, how many of you are worried about that stuff now? Maddie, you love your truck. No. See that? Correct answer. I knew you'd say that. I don't love my car. I used to have a car and I'd wax it and polish it and wash it and... Oh, to me that just seems so dumb now.
Yes, sir.
I mean, I don't mean you ought to just let your car be a traveling trash can, but no more than you should your house, but it's just a thing you got to do.
Yes.
You wouldn't just sit out there in it and pretend you were riding around or just sitting there looking at it or drive through town back and forth so everybody could see you. I mean, things change.
Yes.
You think that's important and you think a whole bunch more dumb stuff is important when you're young. And immature.
Yes.
And it's the same way in your spiritual life, I'm telling you. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. You're not supposed to stay a baby and stay caught up in all of these elementary things, the principal things. You were supposed to move on. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on.
Yes.
Under what?
Under.
Yeah. Well, perfection is in there on down, but that's the goal. Perfection means maturity. It means grow up. It means fully grown. Yes, it does. Look it up. That's what it means.
That's right.
It doesn't mean without flaw or anything like that. It means you grow up.
Yes.
People don't like being told that, do they? When we were young and we were getting ready to go to the mission field, they gave us this psychological deal. And that's what they told her. They said, you need to grow up. Well, they were right about that. But, nobody likes to be told that, do they? Grow up. Grow up.
Yes.
Quit fooling around, acting like a child. Like a foolish child, like a baby, as a Christian. I'm trying to stress this here. We ought to continually be becoming better and more spiritual in our thinking, more godly in our person, in our mind, in our heart, and in our conversation. There ought to be some progress. So are you growing? Let me ask you, first of all, this verse here, Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. You see that? Love, knowledge, and judgment. Are you growing in love and knowledge and judgment? I mean, love for each other and for all men. Are you getting better at it? You're getting better at loving people? I mean caring.
Yes.
Caring. For all people.
Yes, sir.
I mean, how far are we from loving like Jesus loved? Mm-hmm. If God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, how far are we from that? When we go out of here and we look at them people, when we hear their profanity and look at their filthiness and hear their rebellion and their contempt for God and God's people and everything that's right, how are we doing in that department? Are you getting better at it? Do you have Do you love people more now than you did a year ago? I mean, is there any ground been gained in the way you look at people and deal with them and think about them and your first thoughts and reactions toward them? Are you any more godly this year than you were last year at this time? I mean, I'm just trying to get us all to ask ourselves these questions. Ask ourselves these questions. Is your love more real? Not just the emotional kind. I mean, we're not talking about things you do. We're not talking about things you say or things that other people see in you. We're talking about what's inside of you in your heart and in your mind. The habits, the tendencies, the where your mind goes, where your heart goes when you are faced with the filthiness and the offense of this world and its people. Do you love or do you hate? Do you love or you just wish evil upon them? Do you love them? Do you care? Or do you just not care? Couldn't care less. Just turn it off. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 12. Bible says, "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men." There it is again. "Even as we do towards you." Do you really care more now than you did a year ago? About people, about God's work, about God's people, the church. Do you care more? I'm not in the church, I mean the work of God. Do you care more? Really? Or have you filled all that space with other stuff? Other affections, other cares, other interests? Some people never have anything in there. But lusts, cares of life, affections for things in this world, that's all they ever have. They don't even get close to what I'm understanding what I'm talking about here. But all of us here tonight, most of us, ought to understand what I'm talking about here. Do you really care? Do you have the kind of love that suffers long and is kind in the process of suffering long? Not the kind of love that just suffers long and puts up with it, but the kind of love that's kind while it suffers long. That's a whole message right there. We can just drop the anchor there and just talk about that the rest of the evening and just pile drive it in. Do you have the kind of love that envies not, that vaunteth not itself? Self don't count for nothing. How much does self matter to you? How much does self demand? How much must self have attention, sympathy, whatever. How much does self have to be satisfied in you? Well, the more you grow in the Lord, the less you will matter to yourself. I must decrease, and He must increase. If John the Baptist said that, what about us? Love that seeketh not her own. There it is again. Do you love without any self-interest? Without any selfish motive? It's not easily provoked. Oh my. My, my, my. How easily are you provoked? Boy. Who said something about a poker face the other day? Yeah, Gary said that in Sunday school about a poker face. I can tell a poker face when I see it. Just so you know. Love that beareth all things, endureth all things. Wow. I mean, we don't even comprehend what we're reading here. Endureth all things. Beareth all things, hopeth all things. I mean, there's plenty of room for us to grow in the Lord, in spiritual things, in love, and in knowledge, and in judgment, discernment, being able to know how to discern things. There's plenty of room for us to grow. None of us have got to that mark yet where we don't need anybody telling us anything because we know it all. No. Love that never fails. Charity faileth not. Never faileth. Can you answer yourself honestly that you are improving in these areas? That's what I'm talking about. I mean, the Word of God sets the standard real high. Are you heading in that direction? That's what I'm asking. Are we? Each one of us needs to care about that, and we need to work at that.
Yes, sir.
Well, how do you work at it? Not by doing things, not by trying to make yourself this way.
Nope.
It's God that worketh in us. It is. Pray. Pray for God to help you grow. Do you know how God helps you to grow? And God how God helps you to bear fruit? Much fruit? Well, through purging. Tribulation worketh patience. I mean, if we really want to grow, we ought to be willing to pray for God to help us no matter what. Whatever it takes. I want to know more. I want to have more of God. That's what growing in grace and is all about. Spiritual growth is God having more of you and you having more of God. And in the process, you just diminish. It gets more and more about God and less about me. That's what spiritual growth is. Knowledge. Are you increasing in the right kind of knowledge? You know, from the time we're able to talk, we seem to think we know more than everybody else. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. You can find it out just as soon as these little ones start talking. They know. They'll argue with you. They'll be contentious.
Yeah.
They won't agree with you. They know. But we seem to think we know more than others. But when we're born again, a process begins to renew our knowledge after the image of Him that created this new man. Listen to this verse. Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. Did you ever notice that? The image of Him that created him. This new man. You put on a new man that's renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. That He created this new man. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. A new creation. Huh. Well, who did that? God did it.
Right.
We didn't just put on a new set of clothes. We didn't just reform and turn over a new leaf. We didn't just make up our mind we're going to live for God. That isn't how the new birth happens. God breathes into you. We read this morning how Jesus came to him and it says He breathed on them.
Yes, sir.
And said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." And that's what He did with the first Adam. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Well, that's what He did there too. It was symbolic of that. It's God who creates that new man. And that new man is renewed in knowledge. You know what you start out with? I mean, I've said this so many times to y'all, but the growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord is more about unlearning than it is about learning.
Yes.
We got our head and our heart full of junk.
Yes.
And it's a process that begins to get rid of it. And the new man won't agree with all that old junk that we got in our mind, in our heart. And the quicker that happens, the more that you grow. And the more room there is for God. You got to get rid of all that junk before there's room for God. Knowledge of God. I mean, we're renewed in knowledge. Knowledge of God and His Son. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Wow. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. That's growth. Knowledge of His will. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Knowledge of His will. Knowledge of the Word of God, knowledge of men and how to deal with them, understand better about their condition without God. Knowledge. Are you increasing in knowledge? That kind of knowledge. Where you have understanding. You see, knowledge and understanding are two different things. You have to have some knowledge to have understanding. But the amount of knowledge you have doesn't have anything to do with how much understanding you have. It's God that gives the understanding. But we're to seek after knowledge. How you get it? Does God just infuse it to you? Is that one of the things God does? Just, you know, plug it in and push the button and it just transfers all the files in there and you got it. Now you got it. It doesn't happen that way. It's not one of these things that God does for us. Knowledge is what we receive. How you get it? Well, it's got to come in through your eyes, through your ears. You got to read, you got to listen. You got to seek after knowledge. But be careful, because knowledge alone puffeth up. Knowledge puffeth up. Just knowing stuff don't mean you're growing. You can know a bunch of stuff and it's actually detrimental to you.
That's right.
The kind of knowledge that we're talking about. Knowledge of the Word of God. Knowledge of other people. Just how this thing works. Why they do what they do. And understanding what they are in their condition without God. All right, what about judgment? That's one of the things that the first verse mentioned here. Is your judgment improving? Listen to me. I'm going to hurry and we're going to be done soon here. But discernment, is it improving? Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Are you better at discerning people than you were a year ago, 2 years ago? Or are you still being deceived often by the first impression they make on you? You need to think about that.
Yes, sir.
Need to stop for a minute here and consider this. Now, we're to be hospitable and, you know, all of that, and we're to be gracious and charitable, and we're to put the best light on everybody and everything that we can. Now, if you're going to be a Christian, that's the way it is. Charity works that in you. Instead of being condemning and hateful and quick to throw them away, and I've been around so much of that in my Christian life that I'm sick to my gills of it forevermore. It's wrong. It's the mark of sinners, not the mark of people who are filled with the Holy Ghost and who love God and who have charity and the fruit of the Spirit. That's not supposed to be there. But at the same time, you're not to be a fool and just believe everything that everybody says they are, pretends to be. And don't try to to crawfish on me here now, because y'all are that way when it comes to your children or your wife. You watch people. You ain't going to put up with no, you know, chameleon in that area, are you?
No.
You're going to exercise some judgment.
Right.
You better.
Yes, sir.
Better. It's right to do that. We're to grow in this matter. Judgment. To be able to discern things, good and evil. It's not our job, it's not commanded of God, of us, to go around labeling everything and everybody as good and evil. But you can tell, you're supposed to be able to get better at discerning. Miss Owen, she's kind of tough. But I mean, the preacher told me a long time ago, he said, she can just tell better than I can. Somebody come in here and they'll pretend to be so-and-so and say they're so-and-so and everything, and said she'll just pick them out right now. She don't go to them and say, you're a devil. No, but she just, she'll tell him, better watch him.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
And she's right just about every time. Discernment. You ought to get not a critic.
Right.
Not somebody that just goes around condemning everybody. Even if you do see evil in somebody, what are you supposed to exercise toward them? Charity.
Yes.
Love. We've been reading the Gospels, and it's just amazing to me how Jesus dealt with people, you know, that were just absolutely evil, and how he dealt with them in love. Mm-hmm. And we're to follow his example, isn't that right?
Yes.
Isn't the whole deal about growing is to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ?
Yes.
That's the standard.
Mm-hmm.
Watch him. Read about him. Watch how he answered. Watch how he responded to every situation. And then do likewise. Are you better at discerning right and wrong according to the Word of God and the mind of the Spirit? Do you see merit and virtue in certain things that you didn't see before? You're not growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord. You're not growing spiritually if that doesn't happen to you. Mercy. I remember when I was young and just saved, and I'd argue about things, you know, I just didn't sit that way and I didn't understand, you know. And I wasn't that bad. I mean, I just, like so many people, you know, well, I just don't sit that way. You know, well, the Lord will have to show me. The Lord showed me.
Yes.
Different things. And I remember as clear as crystal when it happened. And I saw that I was wrong. And they were right. And it was a great day. I grew because I saw something that there was virtue and value and something important there that I didn't see before. I thought it was just them and their opinions. And has that happened to you lately? Have you come to realize that there are some things that some people stood for that you didn't agree with, that you've come to understand? That's growing. That's growing in grace and understanding. Do you see evil in things that you didn't see evil in before? Have you ever said, I just don't see anything wrong with that? You ever said that? Have you ever come to the point where you said, oh,
yes, sir.
Yes, I do now. Now I do.
Yep.
Well, I have. I've been through down that trail too. Do you value and cherish things more that you used to take for granted?
Yes.
Hmm? You know, there's a lot of things in life that we just take for granted most of our life. And then when we're just about to lose it, or if we lose it, then we realize, what was the matter with me? It's better to grow while you still got time to appreciate and be thankful for the things that are so important. Church is one of those things. It can be gone very quickly.
Yes, sir.
The opportunity, the privilege, the blessing of it can just vanish. How many churches do I know? I can take you to church building after church building in this area that I know. Where I've been, where they had church, when they had church, meetings and... Yeah. We used to sing this song. I still remember when God lived there.
Yes.
The windows are boarded. There's locks on the doors. And what the rest of some of the rest of the songs say? I wonder where they all worship today. Do you value and cherish things more that you used to take for granted? How about every day of living? Your loved ones, your health, freedom. Have you lain aside things that you have realized to be worthless? That even though you once thought they were of great value. I mean, if you're growing, you're going to experience these things. They're going to be things that you used to think you couldn't do without. It was mighty important. Now they're junk to you. You don't care. Because they're vain and worthless. Anything like that?
Yes, sir.
Is it an overload? I mean, is this too much for you to think about? Remember and think about? Try to get a hold of some of them. What about strength? Are you growing in strength? Colossians chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. See, it's all over the Bible. It's just all over. The New Testament especially, we're to be increasing in some things, in the knowledge of God. And then it says, strengthened with all might. According to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. That's mighty important, joyfulness. I'll get to that at the very end. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end that He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. So God wants us to grow and get stronger. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Are you stronger? You think you are? I mean, do you feel any strength? Or do you know what it is to feel strength? Or do you feel, you know what it is to feel weakness? Weakness is when the strength is not sufficient. Weakness is when you say, I don't know how I'm going to do this. I can't. I don't know how I'm going to make it. I just don't see the way. Don't see no way possible. And I can't. That's weakness. Do you know what strength feels like? When you're just enabled out of nowhere. Do you know what it's like to get strength from God? Man, you just... That's the only place that this kind of strength really comes from. I'm not talking about muscle power. Willpower. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just... You know, have you ever been to the place where you just... weak. And God just... put strength into you. I am. More than once.
Yes, sir.
Are you more settled? Are you stronger? Are you more settled? That's established. More unmovable in the things of God. I'm not talking about stubbornness. Stubbornness is like witchcraft. Mm-hmm. Like the sin of witchcraft. Stubbornness is nothing to be proud of. It's no virtue. It's nothing to brag about. Not stubbornness, but just settled. You know that you know. You can look at the foundation and see that it's there. Not just your stubborn or blind pride and will. Cut that junk out. Just what is it to be established? To just know that you're on the rock. Are you more established? You know, if you're not settled and you're not established, you're wobbly. You vacillate. You're unsure and uncertain. You're easily blown about. You're easily shaken. Fearful. Fretful. When God, He can take all that out of you. When you grow, that's the one of the benefits for us of growing. Fretfulness and fearfulness is torment.
Yes, sir, it is.
And to have peace and joy. And just know that everything's going to be all right. When you grow, you get to that place. And, you know, it's like a great big field. I mean, when you get in the edge of it and start smelling the flowers, it's a nice place to be. The more you grow, the more you want to grow.
Yes,
when you realize the benefits.
Yes,
children want to grow up. They don't want to stay little. One of the Felicity today said, I'm a big girl. That's the goal.
Yep.
From the time they can realize where they're at. I mean, they're this tall and you're that tall and they want to be up there. They want to grow. None of them want to stay little. None of them are content being a baby or a child. They don't want to grow up. It ought to be that way with a child of God in spiritual things. I'm speaking of the noble when I'm talking about... hang on a minute. I missed one little thing I want to say here. I'm not talking about our willful determination to serve God or any kind of resolve that comes from a carnal mind and heart or just a self-will. I'm not talking about that. Being strong. Being settled. Y'all with me? I'm speaking of the noble, desirable qualities of character and faith that God instructs us to pursue, which are patience, faith, and charity, and etc. These things work a peace in our inner man that yields strength, not resolve or determination that is of our own accord. That is very important. You can be as determined, and that's been one of my problems all my life. You know, I make up my mind, I'm going to do it. I don't care what, and you know, always kind of really actually leaned on that and depended on that. But that's dependent on yourself, not God. Our preacher always had this little saying. He said, God being my helper.
Yes.
I'm going to do this or that, you know. Well, maybe he had understood something I didn't understand then.
Yeah.
I think I understand it now. Doesn't matter how determined I am, how much resolve I've got. That's not growing in grace. That's not grace. That's not God. That's me in my own strength. Going to show people. That's like a child does. That's what an adolescent does. Time to grow up. Learn to lean on God. Learn to yield to God. Learn to put God out in front and get behind Him. Instead of me in the front, trying to show everybody God. But all of these things, they work peace in us. Let me ask you a couple more questions. Are you able, more able now, to stand against temptation and sin? Are you more able to deny yourself and your carnal desires? Are you more able to talk to sinners about the Lord? More able, I'm talking about. More at ease, more at peace about it. Because you know God does it, not you. It's the Spirit of God that does the work, not me. All I got to do is be right with God. All I got to do is be growing. And the more mature I am in spiritual things, then the easier it is for God to use me. And it's not me. It's Him in me. The life that I live. Are you more able to talk to sinners? Are you more able to endure being falsely accused and abused by others? How well do you do with that? Well, that's a pretty good gauge. I mean, if you want to gauge on your spiritual condition, just mark that one. How well do you take it? These are hard things, aren't they? Some of them are hard times. Because they cut us. Because we know that's right. And we're not where we need to be. I'm too quick-tempered. I'm too quick to fly off the handle. I'm too quick to fire back. Are we growing in faith? 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 10. Night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Any of you think something might be lacking in your faith? Anybody? I wonder if anybody would admit that. Paul said there's things lacking. We're working on that. Trying to help you. 2 Thessalonians 1, 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. See there, Paul's looking at the church. That's 2 Thessalonians. He's looking at that church there and he's saying, I see it. I see growth. Growth in your faith. Give thanks always. Thank God always for you, brethren, at His meat, because your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. He could see some improvement, some growth, some increase in the right things in his people, and he commended them for it. Sitting there. This is good to see, and I thank God for it.
Yes, sir.
2 Corinthians 10, verse 15. Not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. One thing I'm not going to miss about being here is all the noisy vehicles right in our ears here.
That's for sure.
Saving faith is not all we're supposed to have. Faith's supposed to grow.
Yes, sir.
Increase. We just read it there. Got saving faith. Know you're going to heaven when you die. That's all anybody's worried about. Well, I think that's a great deception is what I think about that. Faith's more than that. Much more than that. Heaven is just a fringe benefit of what God does for us. He redeems us. He gives us a new birth, a new creation. It's much more than just a ticket to heaven when we die. Faith should increase and strengthen with time and experience and learning. When faith grows, love and strength and all these other qualities grow also, patience and charity and all of the rest of it. Can you tell a difference in yourself from this time last year? Think about it. A year ago has not been very long ago. Is there a difference in you spiritually? Think about yourself. These things. Search yourself. I mean, examine yourself. Are you getting anywhere? Are you stagnant? Are you losing ground? Are you slipping backwards? And I'd hate to be here tonight and realize that I was worse off than I was a year ago, spiritually. Colder, more discouraged, more empty, more discontent. Terrible. Are you weaker? Are you stronger? Are you more aware of the unseen world? Are you less aware? Are your eyes more toward heaven? Or are they more toward this world? Is your desire to see the coming of the Lord on your mind more or less than it was a year ago? That's something that ought to be increasing too.
Yes, sir.
Are you more concerned about doing right? Or are you more indifferent about it now? If we're not growing, we're dying. And if we're not getting stronger, we're getting weaker. And if we're not increasing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, we are decreasing. You know, that's an important point, and that's the last one here. What next to the last? I got one more thing I want to say. But I've watched kids that grew up in Christian homes, went to Christian schools, went to Christian colleges, and they had all kinds of knowledge of the Bible in their head. They could memorize. I can think of one person I know, a girl. We went to church there, visited, you know, and she'd get up and quote chapters and chapters out of the Bible.
Yes.
But you know what happens when you walk away from church, God, and go live in sin? You know what happens to all that? It evaporates.
Yes.
You lose it. I've watched that. I remember one guy in particular, one young man, and he couldn't, you know, he was so mixed up, and at one time he knew all kinds of stuff about the Bible. I can think of several right now that I know very well. They think they still know it, but they're so mixed up, they just put things together cockeyed and crooked and every which way out of the Bible, and they say it says this and it don't. But one time they knew what it said, but they don't anymore. The devil has scrambled their mind. So if you don't, if you're not increasing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, you're decreasing. That's the point. And then one thing here. This is the gauge to tell how you're, if you're growing or not. Your joy. Your joy. Joy is not happiness. Joy has a lot more to do with contentment and peace. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. First things that it mentions in the fruit of the Spirit. Peace. That's no worries. No fretting. Peace. Everything's going to be all right. Jesus always said, peace be unto you. Peace. My peace I leave with you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Gave us peace. Be a good cheer. Yeah. In the world, you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So you can have peace. And that, whatever's in your heart and in your mind, that tells you how much you're growing. Are you less fretful than you used to be? How fretful are you? Well, that's how much you're really trusting God. As your faith increases, your worries decrease. It really is. That's the way it works. Amen. I watch people and they're not full of joy. They're full of trouble. Full of fretfulness. Full of cares. Burdens about the world around them. God will speak peace to your heart. And the more you grow, the more you're going to get that way. Esther, how do you think those old people in a nursing home, how do you think they can just sit there and smile and be happy and be kind and nice and gentle and encouraging to people? I mean, you think that's something they just got on the fly? And a sudden instant somewhere in their life that just happened to them? Or that is born that way? Or, you know. No, that's long years of growing. Growing!
Yes.
In grace.
Yes.
In the grace of God. And learning and learning over and over and over that God keeps His Word.
Yes.
It's true. What He says is right and it's true. And all you got to do is just believe Him and obey Him. And you'll be a partaker of the benefit. And there's a bunch of them. The benefit's a big deal.
Yes, sir.
Joy. Joy in the Lord. No matter what's happening. No matter what happens, you can have joy in the Lord. He'll strengthen, establish, settle you. Nothing will knock you over. People have their troubles in life. And I'm telling you, some of them are hard. Very difficult. But I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I will make it through as long as I trust in Him. Well, I go on and I'll stop. I told you I'd stop. I'm going to stop. Grow. We should be growing. You'll be glad for it down the road. Father, thank You for the Word of God. Thank You for the sweet promises. Thank You for the nourishment You give us. Thank You for the green pastures. And the way You lead us into the ways that help us to grow. Shame on us for resisting, for being a stubborn sheep that won't eat what You give us. Lord, help us, I pray. It's time for us to grow up, and it's in the times we're living in, we need to be mature Christians, not weak babies still on the milk. Lord, help us, I pray. Help us to understand these things. Take them with us now. Think about it, and help us, Lord, to grow. And I pray that You would give us what we need to grow, each one of us individually, and as a church also. Please go with us now and guide and direct our lives the next few days here. Pray You'd give us opportunities to be a witness for You. And Lord, help us, let our light shine in this dark world, in Jesus' name. Amen.